Jacob, my question to you is, do you think that some people, okay, so let me kind of preface my question. So this week, this last weekend.
This is going well.
Well, this last weekend, I happened to be helping my aunt, who was my first boss, actually. I told her, I said, I still have all that paperwork. But her son, he's a genius, by the way. He's a professor. But his wife is a teacher. So as you know, all my family, I have a lot of families, teachers. So anyway, but he was talking to my parents. And my mom said, well, I thought you were teaching. He goes, well, right now he's just doing a lot of research. And he goes, well, you know, I tried it. I'm not all that great at it. You know, some people can just teach and some people just can't. My question to you is, do you think that that's a true statement? Or do you think that you can take someone who technically, and I'm doing air quotes, can't teach and teach them how to teach and be effective? Because his thought was, no.
It's in a rephrasing way. It's almost, do I think that all people could be teachers?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's meander through this one. I think meander is my most used word on this podcast, by the way.
I like meandering.
Yeah. It's a nice word. It's a good word for the podcast. Mm-hmm. I think everyone's a teacher. I don't know if everyone's intentionally a teacher. I think that there is a difference between being someone who teaches and being a teacher. I think that there's a lot of people that could stand up in front of a class and tell people or tell kids information that they don't have. That's technically teaching. Technically, right? Depends on mm-hmm. your definition of what teaching actually is. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that the profession of teaching, I think the problem is that we think everyone can be a teacher. Like, and but why we, I mean the royal we, I think politicians, parents, et cetera, et cetera. There is a slow degradation of what teaching means. You have people that are straight like big names. People like Jordan Peterson, Joe Rogan, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I mean, you name it. People that are standing up and saying, why go to college? Just watch YouTube seminars. And I think that's interesting because it's like, just because if information was all it took to create educated people, I think we'd be in a lot better spot as a society and as a world. We have more information than ever.
That's true.
There's a difference between being shown information, being told information, and being taught. Because as you and I have said, and the reason why we talk about workshop, is teaching is an in-depth process that in the modern terms, and probably even through history, if we really want to think through that, I don't know, is the process of creating the muscles of thinking. It's the difference between training for a sport and just lifting a weight. Anyone can lift a weight, sure. Anyone can go to the gym and bench press. Anyone can do a squat. Anyone can do a dumbbell curl, right? But to train specifically to grow the muscles that aren't just your glam muscles, the muscles that are mm-hmm. in there that create strength, that create athletic differences, right? The type of things that people work on to run faster or to hit a ball harder or to perform better on whatever field they're performing on. That is the difference. The person that's telling you, hey, just go lift this amount and move on, is different than that coach that is diagnosing your weaknesses and your strengths and tailoring workouts to increase your strength for whatever your goals are. That is a teacher. Now, are there levels to that? Sure, right? You could argue both are teaching, but I think when we're talking really and honoring what the profession is of teaching, I think teaching is an in-depth process that requires synthesizing, research, data. It requires social emotional intelligence. It requires societal intelligence. It requires the intelligence of your content and your not just your intelligence of your content, but the ability to break down your content into digestible chunks from people that may or may not have a background that leads them to understanding what you're doing, or may they may have a disability that prohibits them from understanding it the way that other people understand it. That teaching is a variety of things, and it requires truly years and years of expertise to get to where you need to be. And so to say, can anyone teach? Sure, people can give information. Can anyone be a teacher? I don't think so. And I think that's why the teaching profession is struggling right now, and why when COVID happened, and I've documented this, and I got dragged for this on the internet, and I ended up being right, which was schools needed to stay open. We need classrooms. Does that mean every learner needs a classroom? Not necessarily. I think there's a lot of digital learners out there. I was correct about that. The data, I think, proves that without a doubt. And furthermore, we lost a lot of people that got into teaching for the wrong reasons. I stand by those statements, because people got into teaching that they wanted the cake schedule. They saw Robin Williams teaching and said, I can do that. They watched the Freedom Rider Diaries, like, oh, of course I can change the feelings of kids, and I can really be their person and advocate for them. Then they get in a classroom and realize that's not really what happens in a space. Teachers can be transformative. Teachers can be revolutionary in a classroom. Teachers can be the difference between a kid on a positive trajectory in life or a negative one, 100%. But that comes after effort and after focus, and it comes with a combination of being able to connect to children and their families and their cultures, along with being able to teach content. That is a very specialized skill set. That's why you get, you know, one of the things, and I'm sure you've heard this too, Ochoa, where in the coaching realm, you walk into a classroom, you're like, oh, that teacher would probably be really good in college. That'd be a great college professor, right? We've said that about teachers before. And teachers have said that about teachers before. And what they mean by that is, yeah, they don't have to have that personalship, because in college, they're paying to be there. They're going into thousands and thousands of dollars of debt in order to do something. You don't have to be relational in college. Does that make your college course better? Probably. But do you have to? No. Public school is different. And so I think that we've done a great disservice to teachers. I think this admin, politicians, communities, we have slowly made teaching out to be somewhat of a joke in terms of perception. And I think we're paying the price for that. I think great teachers are leaving because they're like, I work way too freaking hard to be treated this way by everyone that's around me. And I think that we've lost great educators because they're like, why? I'm not going to make $56,000 a year and be treated like a second class citizen when I'm doing something that is so valuable to society. Why would I? And so to answer your question, no, I don't think anyone can be a teacher. I think people can teach, and I think people can do that. I also think people can be coached up to a certain degree to teach well if they care enough. If they truly care about educating young people, they can take feedback 100%. They can get to a level where they can be effective in the classroom. But I think there is a difference. I think that people are drawn to teaching. I think that people are... I think some people just have a skill set. You and I have coached teachers, worked with teachers. You watch them and you're like, I was never that good this early. You're a freak. Like, there are certain people that are that are almost designed in a way to be amazing teachers. And I wasn't that. I think I was one of the people who I cared enough to where I got better because I loved the job and I believed in what I was doing. But I don't think I was really designed to do it necessarily, because I've met people who I have a teacher we've talked about on the podcast before. I think her family listens to this podcast. Her family has a group of educators, but she's a second year teacher. And her first year, I was like, I don't even understand how you're this good. Like, I don't understand how you're wired this way, because I was not. I had to work so hard to get to the level you're at. I was like, I can teach you, but like within a few years, you're going to surpass what even I can show you. And my job as an administrator is just to support you, encourage you, push you, be that outside eye set. But otherwise, you're a rock star already. So I do think those people exist. So no, Ochoa, and not everyone can teach. Can people be coached? Sure, if they care enough. But teachers are a special breed, and we have to protect them.
Well, very good with that, everybody. This is Craft and Draft. I'm Pam Ochoa. That's Jacob Chastain. So what are we talking about today? Go ahead, Jacob.
Oh, my goodness. We're talking about what? When do you know it's the time to leave? When do you know it's your time to start searching for a different school, to start searching for a different role, to start searching for something? What are those feelings like? What kind of guilt may you face? The encouragement, the anxiety, all of those things. It's hiring season in the education world. A lot of shifting's happening. A lot of budgets are changing. A lot of positions are altering. A lot of people are going, you know what? Maybe I don't want to be here, but I'm afraid to go to the next step. So we're going to talk through that and see if we can maybe help some people feel seen in the world of education. But before we do that, I want to tell you that this podcast is sponsored by you over there. Those of you who support us on Patreon, that's patreon.com/craftanddraft. You guys keep the lights on. You help us do what we love, talking about reading, writing workshop, and so much more. And they are Amanda, Andrea, Brandy, Courtney, Destiny, Donna, Lori, Nalissa, Rebecca, Sarah, Susan, Tracy, Matt, Carol, Hannah, Jen, Leah, and Mark, all supporting us in what we do over there. They have access to our Craft and Draft videos, our bonus episodes, and so much more. We release a lot of bonus episodes on free feeds. If you like those, join us on Patreon. Otherwise, stick around. Subscribe if you can't. Support us on Patreon. Subscribing really helps us, but what helps us more is leaving a review. Leaving those reviews let everyone know that this podcast is the real deal. They need to come around, check us out, join the conversation. But, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the discussion. Alrighty, Ochoa. When is it time to go? You and I have both shifted jobs multiple times. It's not always easy. Sometimes there is guilt associated with it. Sometimes there is loyalty associated with it, especially if you're planning on leaving the district. That's hard if you really love a district or if you have a history with the district. I think education is really unique in that, where it's like you can be in the same industry, but changing districts can be a very dramatic thing, because even changing campuses can be a dramatic thing. It's kind of unique. I'll speak from, I guess, so I've only left the district once. I'm in a different district than where I worked most of the time. And that was really weird. I had to learn a lot of new acronyms and a lot of new how-to-dos. A lot of things are the same, of course, but also shifted levels. But even when I became a literacy coach and kind of shifted, there's this, I don't know. I know that I've always felt guilty about the kids. I bawled like a baby when I knew I was leaving my old school to be a principal, because I knew I would see them and I would talk to them, but it was over. Like, that legacy that I had kind of left on that campus was over.
Speaking of that, I went through a drive-thru the other day, and I always ask kids, so what school do you go to? Anyway, he goes to the high school that we fed into. And I said, oh, so did you go to Smithfield or Richland? He goes, oh, I went to Richland. And I said, oh, do you know Mr. Chastain? He goes, the reading teacher? I sure do.
That's so funny.
I just wanted to let you know. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, when you're at a place so long, you know, you build a legacy of people that know you. You know, kids talk, families talk. Like, one of my favorite things was, you know, getting the family back where, you know, the old kids come by, they say hi, like, oh, my little brother is going to have you. I think that's such a cool feeling. And it's teachers that have been around a very long time have experienced like, oh, you taught me in sixth grade and you're about to teach my kid. Which I think is super hilarious. I've had that a lot. My parents and grandparents.
We even had their grandparents. You taught my grandma. How old are you?
You know, funny story. I worked at Walgreens forever, but in the same community. And so I ended up teaching customers' kids, like people that I knew. I was like, oh, I know what pack of cigarettes you bought every day.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, I know. I was so young. But so, I mean, truthfully, though, Ochoa, like, when do you know you've shifted around a handful of times? Some of it you've had choice over, some of it you have not.
Yeah.
What is that feeling? Like, what is it that starts creeping up when you're like, maybe it's time to shift? Is it just an internal feeling? Does it come from bad experience? Is it a desire to do something more? What has it been for you?
Well, it's been a variety of things. First of all, my first time to shift over, well, like you said, I have been at a lot of schools. I've been in two districts. So that first district, I loved it. It was great. It's a district I grew up in. It's the one I went to school in as a kid. It's the one my parents worked at, which is obviously how I probably got the job, is because of who I knew more than what I knew. And I just happened to have the right certificate for what they needed at the time. And so, but my first job was just teaching only, and I wanted to be a volleyball coach. My whole dream, actually, which never did take place, was I wanted to be a head volleyball coach. That's really what I wanted to do. That's the only thing I had in my mind. And so an opportunity came where I could be an assistant volleyball coach at a high school pretty early in my career. And so I applied and I got the job, and that's how I ended up, you know, in the district that we worked in. And so that was a goal-oriented reason to leave. The right job showed up that I thought was going to get me where I needed to be. However, life has a way of changing things. And so I ended up going through a divorce, and I had a brand new baby, and my parents had the same schedule I did. So I could continue to try to be a coach, but my support group, both of my parents were coaches. So you can see why I'd want to go that route, because that's the route that they did. And I wanted to do volleyball, and I still do volleyball, but I do it with officiating. So, but what caused me to leave coaching wasn't because I didn't like coaching. I did. It's because I had family responsibilities that, due to a situation I really had not much control over, and that was becoming a single parent all of a sudden. And against my choice, it wasn't my choice. So that's why I said I didn't have control over it, because that's not what I wanted, but it happened, and that's just where it's at. So I hung in there as long as I could, but I just couldn't make it happen. So that's when I ended up, the principal made a deal with me. If you would get better at English by going to that 3-week institute, then I'll hire you in this position where you're just one of our, you know, our teachers only. And I said, okay. So I did it. And I've not looked back since, as far as that goes. So what made me change positions was, you know, to me, that I really gave up my goal. I mean, I think I would have been a good coach, because let me tell you, in the long run, the person, my setter, has the job I wanted right now. She's the head coach at the place that I left, and she was my setter. So I think she saw me the other day and went, hey, coach. I didn't even recognize her. So I saw her. I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, there you are. And it was pretty cool. So what I'm saying is she let me know that I really helped her as a coach. You know, I was one of the reasons why she wanted to be a coach is because I coached her. So that was very nice. And so I think I had a good influence there, but God had other things for me. So I loved it. And then this new opportunity to teach geography came around. I always loved geography. I'm a history and English major. So I moved from English actually to go teach history because nobody could do it because it was a brand new field at that time that was certified. And so very few people could do it, and I could. So they moved me over, and then they turned it into an English geography position because, well, I mean, in other words, I taught the kids both. So those were things that I went for because I thought it would be cool. The next move where I moved was it was funny because they were building the new school, the one that we fed into, and where that boy went that I just told you about. Anyway, it was funny because what made me want to change there or leave, because I was at that high school the one that I went to for 10 years. I loved it there. I loved it at that school. I did not want to leave. And I had everything going for me. I mean, they were asking me to speak in front of, for geography and English and what we did in front of the school board. I was doing well, and technology was coming around. I was really doing really well. But so anyway, my dad, we were driving by, my dad, he goes, "So are you going to apply for the job over here at this new school? That'd be a good opportunity." And I said, "Dad, I don't really want to. I don't fit in with those people, you know?" So sometimes that has a lot to do with it. If you, the people you end up being around, you're like, I'm not a part of their group. For some reason, I don't either fit in, you know, because there's some places where you just click with everybody and you fit in. Other places, it's like you get in there and they don't have a, you know, they're all in their own little world and you're not a part of it. I mean, they make it very clear you're not a part of it. And I've had that more than once. And sometimes it's either because I'm too young or, you know, too something. But anyway, so the thing is, I said, "Well, Dad, if God wants," I said, "no, I don't really fit in with people." His comment to me was, "Well, if God wants you there, he'll pick you up and move you." So that was kind of an interesting thing. I did not go for that job. But about 2 weeks later, the superintendent of our school district called me into his office and said, "We want you to head up the new, we want you to be the first one to have computers in the classroom. We're going to do that, but we've chosen to do it in Birdville. We want you to do that. And we want you to teach geography with that because we've seen what you can do. And so we're moving you." I mean, it was like 3 weeks after my dad said, "If God wants you there, he'll pick you up and move you." So that's how I ended up there. So after that, all the other moves were because, I mean, and I cried from every place I left, you know, but a lot of it was, you know, what I could do. I was GT specialist. And so I got moved there because I didn't even apply for that job. I got a call from the principal because I was teaching GT kids. I didn't want to direct them. I didn't want to, at that time, I was really enjoying the teaching of it, not just the testing. And so the principal calls me in. He goes, "Well, our GT person quit. You're it." And I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "Yep, you're the one that I want. So you're doing it." So most of the time I actually moved because after that, those few decisions, because they just said, "I need you over here." And that's, it was never really, hardly any of it was any of a demotion. It was more like, we think you will do well here. And, but the problem with that sometimes is you end up with a political situation. And that's what would happen to me sometimes is because what you don't know behind the scenes is, I think it's very important if you get a job anywhere, I don't care if it's in the regular world or in teaching world, you need to know who knows who and who belongs to who, because you can find yourself in talking to the wrong person and get yourself in a mess. And you're, all you did was try to be nice. So usually that's what would happen sometimes. So you got to be careful. You got to know who you're dealing with, especially when you're moving in all these different places. But no, the reason I chose to retire, knowing when it was to quit, I think 36 years, I looked into it. You and I talked about me moving. And I looked into it. I was going to lose quite a bit of money. So once I got in for a long period of time, it became more about what's going to benefit me. So I don't know if I answered your question. I probably spoke way more than you wanted, but
never.
I've left places for different reasons. But most of them, like the academic coach, they decided to make all the GT specialist academic coaches. And then they said, okay, there were three of us. And they said, okay, and you're going to do two schools. And Pam, you're not going to work at this school. Well, the school I worked at then was a 9-year stint. So when I like a place, I stay for a long time, and you can't get me to move. So for me to move, there's always, when I taught geography, I'm going to say this and then I'll let you. But when I taught geography, one of the areas in geography that you have to teach the five themes of geography. And one of them is movement. And it's how do people, places, things, ideas, product, how do they move around the world? And people migrating, things like that. And it's always a push-pull factor. So sometimes I was pushed and sometimes I was pulled. And so sometimes what pulled me at the beginning were goals that I had for myself. Sometimes I got pushed because either they didn't like me or whatever, or mainly is because they wanted me. It was mainly pull, I guess, or I don't know really, but it's kind of fun. But they usually leave for a push or pull reason. So when I decided to retire, as you know, we were talking about that. So money. The other thing that happened, I ran into a friend of mine that was already reteaching. They'd already retired, right? And he goes, well, you need to go ahead and quit. And I'm rehired and I'm getting to work full time. So you need to stay out of here. So that happened in that week. So I talked to you that week. I looked into the finances. He showed up, and then my son was moving in the area for 2 years. So all that happened in the same week. And then I got a new student that I did in my class, and it was like, I don't know, that one student that could change the whole entire dynamic. It was my favorite class. And I took care of it in the long run, but that all that happened in that 1 week. So that was a real easy decision. And then I had to make a decision by a certain time because all the paperwork was due. So that's kind of how I chose. And after 36 years, I'm not out of teaching completely, but I did have to retire. I think it was at that time it would help me the most. So I mean, what do you think? What do you think? When is the best time to quit or start looking for a job?
I don't know. So my first job was at a school where I was like, I'm going to be an educational aide because I was going to be in. And then they offered me a full-time teaching job. It shows you how desperate they were for teachers. So you can teach science or social studies. I said, well, social studies sounds okay. So I jumped into there. And then from there, I developed a love for it and became obsessed with it. And then by my fourth year, I got teacher of the year. And then I got a little phone call. My head, I remember I was sitting at my desk. It was like on break or something, maybe spring break. Sounds about right. Mm-hmm. I was on my conference period, maybe. I don't know. My head principal came in. He goes, Jacob, I got some good news for you. He goes, sad news for me, good news for you. He goes, this campus wants you as their literacy coach. And I go, what the heck does that mean?
Pretty much what?
I think that's what everyone thought.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what does that mean? And so he kind of described it to me. And I was like, all right. And so I went and interviewed. You were one of the people on that panel.
I did interview, yes.
Which I thought was so funny. And, I interviewed and I walked away going, you know what? I feel pretty good about it. I don't see how it could have gone any better. But maybe, they don't want me. I remember walking in specifically because our district was pushing guided reading so much. And I remember specifically wording my answers to say, I'm not just going to walk in and be your guided reading person.
Right.
Like, that was like my focus because I was like, I'm not going to be hired if that's what they want. And then I got a call, and then it was like, you're going to this campus, you're going to be their literacy coach. And the funny thing is, you talk about not being wanted somewhere. Good Lord. I showed up, and I remember I was like, well, you know, I'm kind of an outsider. I walked in on that first PD day. I walked up to the English teachers, walked up to their table, went to go say hi. Not a single one of them looked at me. Not a dang one.
Oh my gosh.
Cause my, in my head,
group.
In my head, I was like, I'm going to join them. I'm going to sit like whatever, yeah, kind of like, you know, and not, they just ignored me. And so I kind of made my round. I kind of said hi or whatever. And I walked over, and then you pulled me over, and me and you sat at a table like away from everybody almost.
Yeah.
And then after that, they were like, all right, break off into your PLCs. And I was walking down to them, and you grabbed me by the arm and like, no, we're going to go this way. And I was like, but I wanted to kind of join them. And you're like, it's okay. Just come on. And like what I didn't at the time, I was like, why is this happening? Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. See, I remember it very vividly. And at the time I was like, what's happening? And then later I realized they were just a group that they didn't want to be coached. They didn't want to be supported.
They were tough.
They saw me as the adversary. They were like, what, mm-hmm, does this young guy have anything to do with us? He should take a hike and we're all going to rally against him. Which they did. And I didn't really make it easier on myself. And so that was a weird situation where I ended up really liking that year. I mean, it took a lot of...
Well, you started teaching too. You weren't hired to
teach. That's the other thing is I behind the scenes I asked our principal, I was like, hey, what if I had a class? And then I managed that. I remember telling you, I go, Ocho, I'm about to have a classroom. And you went, no way.
What? I know, because you didn't give me one.
Look, I'm a good salesman.
Yeah. Well, I didn't ask for one too much.
Well, it was the right place and right time, and I pitched it the right way. It was very lucky. And so I did that, but ultimately that year never really panned out. I learned a lot that year. That is still one of my biggest growth years of all time. It's also one, mm-hmm, of my best podcasting years. I had so many amazing people on the show that year. Because I honestly was kind of miserable. And so I remember I started going back to my home campus and I was like, can y'all take me back? Cause I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I remember by Christmas I sat down with my principal and I said, when do I start liking this job? That was the exact phrase I used.
Oh, yeah.
And then I told her, I was like, I don't think I'm coming back. I was like, I think I'm done. Like, I really appreciate it. I think I love the opportunity. I love all this, but it's just not working out. And there was a variety of reasons. I don't want to, you know, air some dirty laundry here on the podcast, but, you know, there was a lot of reasons why that role didn't work out. And I've talked about them on Teach Me Teacher a little bit, but ultimately I made good connections there. That's where you and I fostered our friendship. That's where Craft and Draft was born. That's where all of that stuff came from. So it's hard to be down about something like that. But I went back to my home campus and then I did a few more years there, had some really great experience, started doing my master's. And then, I was doing my master's at the other campus too, but I started really honing in on kind of the end of that. And then the opportunity came to where I was like, I had this feeling where I was like, you know what? I like curriculum. I like principalship. But the word was that our ELA curriculum coordinator in our district was going to leave. And big people in the district were coming to me saying, hey, Chastain, this is probably happening. Are you interested? And I was like, of course. Like, I think it would be a great opportunity, et cetera, et cetera. And I was at a training for a leadership training in the district. And they said, I remember some very strong people in the district came up to me and said, hey, this is about to open. You need to apply. And I was like, well, dang. I mean, if these people are telling me to apply, then I should probably apply. Like, I was like, man, I probably have a good shot. And so I did. And they gave me an interview and it was a very strong interview and it was nice. They passed on me. They called me and said, hey, you know, we just wanted to tell you that we went with someone with a little bit more experience, but you were a very strong candidate. Can we set up a meeting to talk with you? Sure. I go in to the head of curriculum and the head of GT services and all that stuff. We said, we have a long conversation about, they were like, you know, we want to cultivate you. We think this could be a path for you. We think we could use you in some ways. And I thought it was awesome. I liked what they had to say. They were very complimentary. They were like, honestly, you were number two. You just didn't have the experience. And currently in our district, we needed someone with a little bit more experience. And I was like, all right, I can respect that. You can't beat time. No matter how good you are, you can't beat time.
Right.
And so I took that and I said, you know what, let's see about assistant principalship. I wasn't itching to get out of the classroom. I love teaching. I still love teaching. I love my job. I love my campus. And so I put it into a handful of places, and eventually I got a call to become and to interview at a high school right down the street from me. And I said, you know what, let's go. Interviewed, and I got a call within 2 hours telling me that they wanted me. And we had to talk about a few things. It was awesome because it felt right. The interview was really great. I found out later that apparently they told and I really hate that they told the other APs this. They told the APs, they said, it was like Chastain. They were like, he's the best interview we've ever had.
Oh, no.
They give me so much crap for that.
All interviewed.
I know they give me so much crap. We have a very love hate relationship, not actual hate, but you know, very. Wow.
But you do a good interview. I've been in one of your interviews.
I know I do interview well. I mean, I interview people almost for like a part time job, so it's like I kind of know how to handle questions. Mm-hmm. So I get that, and I know I interview well, but it was nice. It was a good compliment. And that's that. So, I mean, for me, though, it's always been like I'm comfortable until I'm not. I'm comfortable doing what I love until I'm like, OK, I've done what I need to do. And once I feel that, once I feel like I'm kind of just repeating, it's like, all right, it's time to do something else. But I'm always hungry. I'm always hungry, but I'm not so hungry that I'm reckless. I overthink. I process. I obsess. And I think for me, like, I think that for anyone who's listening to this, that's thinking about, you know, maybe moving, like if you, especially young people, I want to write a book towards young people because I think not enough is said about this, but if you're young, everyone will tell you, you shouldn't. Everyone will tell you you're too young. Everyone will tell you it's too early. Everyone will tell you that you have to earn your keep. You have to. And sometimes that's true. Like I said, you can't beat time. Nothing beats that. But also, who cares? If people give you the interview, guess what? They're interested. So it becomes a challenge. It becomes, can you be the young person that gets this? I was probably the youngest academic / literacy coach in the district at the time. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome. Now I learned my lesson from that. And like there was parts of my inexperiencedness that hurt me, sure, but if I had the proper support and the proper guidance, I would have probably been far more successful. And so I think that for young people in this situation, I think you do what you want. I mean, if people give you an interview, take it. If you feel like you're qualified, go for it. There's always going to be someone more qualified. There's going to be someone that has more experience. There's going to be someone that has more degrees. There's going to be someone that has more connections, but who cares? Like, go if that's what you want, there's zero reason why you shouldn't go for it. But if you're someone that's unhappy, it's also the other thing where I think you should try a few places before you quit. We talk about quitting a lot, but there's a lot of schools. And you'd be surprised that even in the same district, the vast cultural differences between campuses. Oh,
they're huge. I mean, because in our district, we have the district that we were in, we have 3 high schools. So that means there's 3 feeder patterns. And I've worked in all 3, and I can guarantee you that all 3 feeder patterns are different. They have a different culture. They have a different group of people. They have different leaders, you know, and even the district looks at each one a little bit differently based on what they have to offer and the relationship between the district and the principals, if you will, and the academic coaches and those things. Yeah, I of course, you know, I'm the one that I never quit. It was funny because my parents one time, I was going through a difficult time and they were like, you know, well, Pam, why don't you just quit? And I'm like, y'all didn't teach me to quit. I don't know how to quit. So I just keep going. And I think in the long run, that was the best thing because here I am, I'm on this end of it. And I had some pretty tough times along the way. I really did. When I said there's times where you just don't fit in or you find yourself in a political situation, you do. And when the superintendent moves you, but the principal doesn't want you there, that causes an issue. And so those are some things that have happened in the past. I don't want to, like you, I don't want to air dirty laundry or anything, but they were some extremely difficult times. And then you also have your personal stuff that happens at the same time you're going through your professional stuff. And all I know is I say jump in with both feet and start swimming. And before you know it, you're going to be on this side of it. And I'm glad I did. And of course, the young people, I started young enough that right now, I mean, I'm still pretty, I'm young enough to be able to do other things if I want to. And I don't know. I think if it doesn't work, I don't think there's nothing wrong with trying new things. Right. But at the same time, I have two sets of children, if you will. And as a mom, you know, you have to deal with all of that. They're all adults. So all of my children are adults. And watching them try to figure out life and what they're going to do, all three of them took a different approach. But I will tell you that I finally, like my daughter, she finally went to school. She's doing what she wants to do. But she took a little more of a longer route to get there. And what her problem is, if you will, is she's like, well, she tries something and then she's like, I don't like that. And she wants to try something else. So she never stays long enough, or she wouldn't stay long enough to get good enough, if you will, to do something with what she was doing. Like she'd say, well, I want to do computer programs. So she went to school for that. And then she goes, oh, I don't want to do that. So now I want to do insurance. So she quit school and then go to insurance. Oh, now I want to do this. Well, finally, you know, I told her, I said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to end up being a jack of all trades and you're not going to master anything. And as a result, you're going to stay living with me forever. And she goes, well, I don't want to do that. And I said, okay, well, then you're going to have to, whether you like it or not, stick to something. And so I think what I see a lot of times is I think you see two things with kids. You see kids, when I say young people, because you brought that up, they are so busy trying the next thing and they quit too much that they don't ever get anywhere. Or they're so afraid to take a step that they stay stuck too long, whether it's not getting started or just staying in a place too long. Does that make sense? So there really is a balance there. And like my son, for example, the military has turned into his career, but I can tell you in the military, he will get everything he does, there's a path to what he wants to do, but he's never stagnant. So like he's in the military, but in that military, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4 different MOSs. And now he's going for another one. But those are jobs for those people who don't, you know, most people know what that is, but it's their military occupation. But he's had several of them because he'll go, that looks cool. I want to go do that. He never gives up another training. He goes and does that training and then he gets moved. So, but he does a lot of things inside that realm of where he's an expert. Does that make sense? And I think that's what you do. And I think that's what these young people could do. Like if I could go back in time, and I tell this to other kids, if I could go back in time, what I would have done is made sure that when I got my master's, I had that administrator certificate, but I didn't do that because I didn't think when I was young that I could handle the job. Well, what I didn't know is I think I could have handled the job on this end of it, right? But wait, when I got my master's, I was young and I thought, well, I don't think I could handle that job. So I didn't go for something and I didn't have, you know, I just didn't go for it. And if I could go back, I think it's important to make yourself more marketable. And so you don't always have to do what you're marketable for, but you know, I would say whatever you love doing, get as much education in that as possible and then make yourself more marketable so you can have choices. Because there's a certain point in time, like with you, you already have your superintendents, don't you?
Not are you quite, about to? But yeah.
Okay. Well, my cousin, I have a cousin that does. She's just now getting her doctorates, but she has her superintendents. She has all of that, right? So she went and did all of that. And so now she's got all these options. And she's my aunt had her really young. My aunt was older, so she's quite a bit younger than me. So she still has another 15 years in. And now she could do anything. And but that's because she's been driven. So I don't know. I think there's a balance. And I think go for whatever you want to go for. I agree with you on that. So I didn't mean to talk too long, but those are my thoughts.
You didn't on talk too long.
When to accept and when not to. But don't go hopping around to the point you don't get good at something. That's because you already mentioned at the beginning with my question that teaching, yes, there's a talent, but talent will only get you so far. Mm-hmm. The coaching helps you build on that talent, and then you become exceptional. And so you want to stay in long enough that history is important. Time is important. You can't beat it, like you said, but you also have to have a history. And so it's real important to, it is hard. It's a hard decision to know when to quit or when to stay.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is the Craft and Draft Podcast. Are you quitting or staying? Let us know. Send us a DM. You can do that at craftanddraftworkshop.com. You can do it at patreon.com/craftanddraft. Talk to us. Let us know. Ask a question. Let us pontificate on your problems instead of our problems. Regardless, come back next week for another fantastic episode. That's Pam Wachum. I'm Jacob Chastain. We are two educators down in the state of Texas doing what we love, talking about reading, writing, workshop, and so much more. So many episodes. Support us on Patreon if you can. If you cannot, subscribe so you don't miss any other episodes. Drop them pretty much every single Friday. Leave a review if you haven't already. And know that we are here.
For you.